Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, well, well. Look who we have here. A caller on the phone.
Surprising, I'm sure.
What is your name?
My name is Bridget.
Bridget, what are you doing right now?
Right now, I was supposed to be writing a paper for college, but then you started streaming.
What was this paper about?
It's actually my end of undergraduate capstone, my research paper that I'm doing on crop subsidies and water use.
Well, that sounds extremely boring. And yeah. I'm glad that, I don't know, maybe it's not boring for you because you signed up to do it. But anyway, Bridget, what's up, man? What'd you call in to talk about, if anything?
So, I called in for a bit of life advice. I'll be graduating in December here, because I started a semester later. And afterwards, I'm mulling over possibly impromptu moving to Ireland for a lot of reasons, mostly centering around the fact that make things weird, but my dad died.
Make things however you want to make them. I'm reading the notes here, and it says that your dad died last year and that he had a lot of connections in Ireland, and you're hoping to assume talk to people that knew your father to get a little bit of a better perspective on him. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. And also just like a connection to the land, I guess, because my grandma was born and raised there. Obviously my dad's mom. And she died before I was born, so I didn't get to know her, but I always heard of Ireland through my dad. My parents divorced very young, and my dad never remarried, and his family is already pretty small. So I guess anybody who's like had divorced parents knows, like, when that happens, that parent kind of like gets in a bubble, and it kind of feels like you and maybe some family members are only like the connection they have anymore. And now I don't have that because those family members and him, besides my sister in Texas, which is a whole nother story, are gone. So I really only have Ireland.
What was your father's connection to Ireland? Did he live like a significant part of his life there?
Not a significant, but was there like commonly, with, because my grandma would always bring him and my uncle there and back. And he actually has a few cousins there who I want to reconnect with. But I don't know them. He was there a lot, but I was only there 4 years ago for about a week, and it was just sightseeing. I met two of them for like a day, and I know they're cool people. It's like, do I want to move to Ireland to experience this part of my life that is technically gone, or should I just stay here?
These people that your dad has had connections to, Do you have their contact information? Do you have them on Facebook or cell phone?
I think I have one of them. He had a cousin who would be like the age of an uncle to me. Somewhere my blood uncle probably has it. So him and my dad were estranged when he died. So
tell me about where you're kind of at in life right now. You told me at the beginning of this that you have homework, so you're in school. Are you about to graduate?
Looking like graduating this December, and then afterwards is where the question kind of comes into play, where I'll be graduated. I don't really have any job lined up, so I feel like if I'm going to make a big change right now, that would be the time.
I totally agree with that as a sentiment, where it's like, if you are going to go take a risk or do something fringy or unexpected, right now is totally, totally the time to do it, right? Because when you have started, what are you trying to get a career in? Crop stuff?
Basically environmental policy.
Okay. So, you know, look, when you're, you know, 3 years deep into your career and, you know, maybe you have a significant other of some kind and you really just are kind of rooted down where you are, you know, you're not going to want to go take off and run to Ireland because there's going to be a lot more left behind. There's going to be a lot to leave behind. But at this point that you're in right now, where you haven't started anything yet, you don't have any real commitments. I don't know if you have money saved up or anything like that, but now feels like the time to do it. If you're going to go do something like that, if you desire to do something like that, because, you know, worst case scenario, if, you know, there is no sustainable future for you in whatever fringe thing you decide to do, you can always come back and get a crop job, a croppy job. That was stupid. So can I do have to ask you this. I love this idea. I think it's great. It seems like you're very passionate about it. And if it even interests you a modicum and you, you know, can afford a plane ticket, whatever, totally go and do it. Life is short. Why do you want to move there? If your primary goal is to learn about your dad and connect with all these people, do you feel like you couldn't just accomplish that in a you know, trip of a month or two or three? Why are you considering moving there?
Well, that's a good question, and it's something I'm still like kind of mulling over, because I still have like my mom and stepdad here and friends here. But what's kind of like pushing me to think about moving is something my dad would always say when he was still alive, where he would always mention how my uncle, who I mentioned previously, very well-traveled man, lived in Prague for many months, lived in Germany for a year, all this stuff. And my dad never did that, despite loving the aspect of different countries, different places, different cultures. And he said he always, always regretted it. And I'm wondering that if I don't take that chance right now, am I going to regret not just taking a trip, you know? Because you take a trip and you leave, you know, people are just like, oh, she was nice. But if I move there for, let's say, at least a year, then yeah, I'm actually like instilling myself in the culture and knowing just being a traveler.
Yeah, you know, I like that. That's a good explanation, and that actually does make a lot of sense, to be like, no, I'm going to actually you know, really try to live in a place, and why that would be different from just, you know, a trip of a couple months. That makes a lot of sense. Bridget, I think you should do it. I love shit like this. I really do. I really do believe that life is short, and that if you want to have a career in environmental policy, I think that, you know, you got your degree and, you know, the job prospects are not going anywhere if you want to spend this year in Ireland. And I think you should do it now if you're going to do it, right? Like, you can always start your career afterwards. Who fucking knows? Maybe something happens in Ireland that you're like, oh, I don't even want to do environmental policy. Maybe I want to do this or go to this place. Maybe you meet someone who's like, hey, I got this startup going on in fucking Laos. You want to come? And you're like, okay, sure. And then you're in Laos, and then you meet the love of your life, and then they break your heart, but then you meet someone else who's even better, and then you go to fucking Japan. And I don't know. I just life is short. You should do these things if you feel like you want to do them. I'm fully in favor. Also, it's a cool, this is like a movie thing to me. This feels like it's a plot of a movie. You might come out of this with a good screenplay. And it has a purpose to, yeah, I like everything about this. I think you should do it. I'm in favor. And I'm not just saying that because I'm green and biased because of that. I've said too many stupid things over the course of this call, but no, I think you should do it. I like the idea of taking your big risks early, because you're never gonna be in a better position later on in your career to do this kind of shit.
Right, yeah. Wow, that was some solid advice.
Have you been talking to your mom about this? What does she think?
I've mentioned it to her. She's not opposed. As all moms are, she'd like me to stay close to home. It's just a little difficult of a topic in our family because my parents had a very messy divorce, to say the least. And it happened when I was like 3, so I barely even remember it. But long story short, I can never remember them having a pleasant conversation. So it's like, it's not that she opposes Ireland, it's just the, I guess, relationship to my dad that, you know, she's not saying don't go, but she's not like grinning at the fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get why you want to stay close to your mom and your stepdad and your friends, but you know, it's a difficult thing. You want to be close to your family, but also you're aware that life is short and you want to go out and live it, and you know, I think you should. And you know, go to Ireland, FaceTime your mom, you know, once a week at the very minimum. And, you know, I think you should go for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll call in if I'm there next year.
Is there anything that you want to say to the people of the computer before we go, Bridget?
I guess just, your dad dies, move to Ireland.
Solid advice.
Well, thanks
for calling, Bridget. Take care.
You too.
I liked her. She had, first of all, like I said, great movie premise. Great movie premise. Who knows what kind of, I can already like see the trailer for that movie in my head. The characters that she meets, she'll piece together her father's story. It reminds me of what's that movie, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close? Isn't that kind of what that movie was? Anyway, I like that a lot. I think that's a great life experience, and I really, in my fucking core, do believe that life is short, and that if if she's in a position to go and have this life experience, she really should. I mean, who the fuck knows what could happen as a result of her taking a chance? I'm inspired. I'm excited for her. I think it's going to be cool. I think she's going to learn some stuff. I think she's going to feel really connected to her father, connected to her family. And I'm glad to hear that her mother is not actively discouraging her from it, because it seems to me that she holds her mother's opinion in a solid regard. You know, she wants to be close to her and the stepdad and the friends. And I hope she has the courage to do it. I think she should.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online option for therapy, with video, voice, and texting chat options with a licensed therapist that can be done completely at your own pace and on your own schedule. You don't need to leave your house. You don't need to sit in traffic. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with one of several therapists on the platform. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge until you find one that works for you, and you can communicate with your therapist as often as you want and whenever you feel it's needed. It's never a bad idea to find someone qualified to talk to about your issues and get some guidance on them. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/gecko today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gecko.
Shall we? Shall we take phone calls? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am feeling... I'm actually feeling... really good. I'm feeling good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little nervous about telling you this story. It's funny, but ooh, it was humiliating.
No, trust me. Listen, 5 minutes from now, I guarantee you are not going to feel nervous. What's going on with you, Jane? Tell me everything. We have no time for anything, but we only have now. What's going on, Jane? Tell me the thing.
Oh, nothing much. My husband and I, we like to, on his off nights, he works nights, and so on his off nights, we'll smoke, maybe pop an edible, you know, get a little jazz.
I like
and
it.
This particular night, it was just a few nights ago. We were having a grand old time, getting into it, you know? And I could have sworn I felt... Now, let me preface this by saying, we are not new to butt stuff. Butt stuff, I mean, you say we can say anything on here, right? Like, that's the tab I open in the Pornhub. You know what I mean? Like, that's the stuff that I like. So this isn't new for me, but for some reason, I mean, I guess maybe it was because I was stoned. I don't know. I could have sworn it was slipping out. And so he's behind me going to town, and I'm like, hey, bro, can you like poke that in just a little bit? I think it's about to slip out. And he did. He does it. He does it. And then he doesn't see it. He doesn't see it. It's gone. It's up in my butthole. So he pulls out and he
Hold on. Are you talking about his penis?
No. No, I should have prefaced that. I'm so sorry. I have.
Yeah, because when you said his penis disappeared into your asshole, I'm like, that's...
You're like, just pull it out.
That is, first of all, would be terrifying. That would be an awful trip to the hospital if he lost his penis inside of your asshole.
Wouldn't it, though? Like, a prosthetic penis and he just lost it? That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
But no, it was a vibrating butt plug. And I mean, I'll admit, it was like, I don't know if you, like, are around anybody that vapes regularly. But I mean, it was the size of, like, a bigger like a bigger size vape. But it was, you know, butt plug shaped. And it vibrated. Well, it was a grand old time until it got lost. So I sent him to the kitchen because he's freaking out. I'm high. I'm laughing and crying at the same time. It was, honestly, it was kind of an amazing mix of emotions. But he goes and he gets the kitchen gloves. And he's like, I can't feel it the whole time. Shit's still vibrating. I'm like, we got to go to the hospital. He's like, no, you got to go to the hospital. Mind you, we have a 2-year-old. She's in bed asleep. I'm like, I cannot go to the ER in this condition and explain to these people why I have a butt plug stuck in my asshole. I can't do that. I was crying still. I was like, I can't. This is ridiculous. It's humiliating. And he finally caved. He caved. He went with me. He got the baby up. He got me in the car. We get in there. I walk in, and there's a security
guard. Oh, the baby came with you?
Like, how can I just walk? Yeah, man. Can't leave a baby at the house. And he had to go.
I mean, look, that's perfect timing, right? Because it sounds like the baby is just young enough that he will not remember any of this.
It's perfect.
Perfect. Okay. So what happened when you get to the hospital? I understand why, you know, people who... I understand why if you have a currently vibrating butt plug inside of your asshole, why you would be embarrassed to, you know, go get help for that. But these are medical experts we're talking about here. I mean, they've probably seen much worse.
This is true, but I was not anticipating the security guard. And the security guard had to let me into the ER. And she's like, well, okay, where are you needing to go tonight? I'm like, the ER? What brings you in? I'm like, bro, this is humiliating, but I have something stuck in my butthole. She tries to keep a straight face, and she couldn't. And I was like, yes. She calls them. They call me back. It dies in the middle of the intake question. I look over at my husband and I'm like, it died. The nurse lost her shit. He lost his shit. I'm like, this is not funny. And it is because it died at just the best moment. Because I think if it had still been vibrating when the doctor tried to get it out, I would have legit died of embarrassment.
Oh, the battery died.
Yeah, the battery died. Mind you, yeah. this was like 30 minutes later. It was sitting there, you know, just doing its thing for about 30 minutes.
I feel like the battery on a butt plug doesn't really need to last longer than 30 minutes, does it?
I mean, I feel like it doesn't. I feel like it didn't even need to last that long. I wish it had died sooner.
Well, so Jane, you know, look, I'm glad that you shared this story with us. I hope that it was cathartic for you. And I want to know, did you learn anything from this experience that you can take with you as
plugs.
You maneuver through the universe? Get bigger butt plugs?
That, yeah. No, not bigger necessarily. The ones with the little rings at the end that you can pull out that won't just, like,
yeah, that's smart.
Fall into
did
your
this give you any, like,
it, you know
did
what
this,
I mean?
Did this give you any sort of a, like, aversion to butt stuff in the future, like butt PTSD of, like, I don't want things near my ass because then they'll get stuck in there type of thing? Or were you, or did you guys have butt sex that night?
No, we didn't. I mean, it's not like an aversion. Like, I had to, like, genuinely, it was kind of like a birthing experience. I've never birthed a child, but I would say that has to feel very similar, what I was doing in there. And so, no, I mean, I still enjoy it. I still, like, we didn't get to finish that night because we had to go to the ER. So, I mean, the next night I was back at it again on the Pornhub. No aversion. I'd do it again, honestly. Just not with that specific butt plug.
Wait, is your daughter adopted?
Yes. Yeah, there was.
I like
some,
the idea. I like
familiar,
the idea.
Familial.
I like the idea that you reveal to your daughter that she's adopted by telling them that story.
She would be mortified. I mean, if she's anything like me, she's just probably gonna laugh. But
you're like,
we'll
the butt
see.
Plug got sucked up into me, and then I had to birth it out, which, you know, felt weird because I've never birthed anything before. Oh, by the way, you're adopted.
That would be great. That would be a terrific way.
Yeah.
I'll
like
take it under
nice
advice.
Review. Jane, is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
No, just everybody stay kind. Be kind. Everybody needs kind words. And
well,
I hope
much,
you have
Jane.
A lovely night. And thank you so much for taking my call.
You as well.
Bye.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
This is Cam.
Cam. What's up, Cam? How's it going?
I'm chilling.
Yeah, how do you chill? What do you do to chill?
I lay in bed in the dark and stare at my phone.
You lay in bed at the dark and stare at your phone. That actually does sound pretty chill.
Yeah, I'm a professional.
Are you in the dark right now?
My curtains are cracked because there's a really pretty sunset, but other than that, yeah.
So Cam, what's going on with you? Is there a thing you called in to talk about?
Yeah. So I'm going on a trip in exactly 64 days, 5 hours and 5 minutes. I have a countdown with some friends, that I met online, and we've been friends for like a couple years, and we were just like, let's do it. Let's meet up. But I haven't in like 2 years, I haven't hung out with anybody but family in person. So I'm a little nervous that, you know, I'm going to get there and they're going to be like, wow, this person's really weird. Cause I am. Mm-hmm. I'm very awkward and clumsy.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask why you haven't hung out with anyone except for your family in the past 2 years?
It's kind of isolated out here. Before I moved out, so I'm in Nevada with my fam. But before that, I lived in New York, and I lived in upstate, and I lived with roommates, and I had friends, and we'd go out and do stuff, and that kind of ended badly. So I came back to be with my family, and it's way more isolated out here. And I'm kind of antisocial anyway. Like, I have to, it takes some time for me to be like, okay, let's go. Like, to be social.
Are you antisocial by choice? Like, you just prefer having alone time or is it a, mainly just because of a difficulty meeting people and summoning the energy to do that?
I think it's a little bit of both. I like my alone time. I don't mind being alone. Like, I'm not sad that I'm alone all the time. But I, you know, I do have fun when I'm out with friends. It's just like, if it's easier to be alone, I guess it's convenient.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is a lot more convenient, unquestionably, to sit in your room on your phone in the dark as much as you possibly can, as opposed to going out into the universe. Undeniably more convenient 100% of the time.
Right.
So you're going on a trip with these friends. How many of you guys are there?
Five.
How did you meet them?
Including me. Fortnite.
Cam, you know, I know that you're nervous, but I think, and do any of them know each other, or none of you guys have met any of each other before?
None of us have met in person, but one person is in California, so like not even 6 hours from me,
and two people are in Florida, which is where we're going. So we're all like, not all of us, but we're like kind of close already. Some of us.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you, Cam. I know that you have these fears that people are going to judge you for whatever reason. I, first of all, guarantee that that will not happen. I think it is a high probability that your internet friends are likely thinking the same thing themselves. So it's like a weird, you know, freshman year of high school or college thing where everyone is going into it nervous and a little worried, but also excited and ready to make connections.
Right.
I'm excited for you. I also think, you know, if you haven't been interacting with people socially for 2 years, it makes perfect sense why it would scare you. But like I said, I'm excited for you. I think it's good to be nervous. I'm learning that
okay.
a lot more now. I think it's good to be nervous because it means that you have something that is about to challenge you in some way. You know, you say that you're you stay on your I think it's great that you're doing this because you said that you've been spending the past 2 years on your phone in the dark, and you could have said no. You could have said no. You could have been like, I'm too nervous. I don't want to do it. But you were really nervous when you got the invitation, but you didn't let that stop you. You said yes. I'll go out and I'll do it, and I'm proud of you for doing that. That takes a lot. To go against your central nervous system and dive headfirst into a new experience and to take active effort against the convenient lifestyle you've been living in the hopes that you'll have an experience that will improve your life in some way. That takes a lot to do. I'm glad you're doing it. You will probably be nervous for the rest of the 64 days. Because the central nervous system cannot be reasoned with. It can only be beat by action. That's what I've learned. As my own personal experience with my own central nervous system that I've been having a complicated relationship with over the past few years.
Right.
But here's the thing. You will go on this trip. You will face your fears and meet these people. You will have a great time, and afterwards you will have had an experience where you were nervous to do something, did it, realized there was nothing to be nervous about, and then next time you're facing a situation that makes you nervous, you will have firsthand evidence that your nerves are not telling you a truthful story, and that will help you deal with them a little bit better. And then you'll face that, and then you'll encounter another situation that makes you nervous, and then you'll have two sets of first-hand evidence that your nerves are lying to you, and then you keep doing that, and you keep doing that, and then eventually you just get better at facing your fears.
I like that.
What are you guys going to do in Florida? Are you going to Busch Gardens?
Yeah, we're probably going to go to Busch Gardens and do like a dolphin tour.
But you're actually, I just said a random thing. You're actually going to Busch Gardens?
Yeah, there's like a tourism pass and it includes Busch Gardens. So, I mean, why not, right?
Oh, man. Cam, you're going to have a good ass time, dude. You got nothing to worry about.
I am excited. Like, I'm not just anxious, but I don't know. It just kind of hit me the other day and I was like, wow, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Now, anxiety is a form of excitement, I think. I don't know. That comes from absolutely no information whatsoever except personal anecdote.
I think it makes sense. It's like anticipation.
Right. That's what the is in anxiety, anticipation. Again, no information. But Cam, is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
No, but thanks for being you, because you're awesome and you make life fun.
Can I ask you one more thing? Do you believe, and I guess you won't know this until you're actually there, but do you think that if this goes well for you and you do have fun, would you consider, when you return home, seeking out more situations where you can put yourself out there to make friends?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. Obviously I can't get into my whole life story, but I haven't had a lot of opportunities to do things for me, just like because I think I would have fun doing them. So in planning this trip and like buying the plane tickets and like finding somewhere to stay and just like doing it together as a group, I've just kind of been thinking a lot about like what I want to do, like just for me to have fun, even if it is scary. So I definitely think if I go, or when I go, obviously I'm going, I paid money, but like after, I definitely think that if it goes well and stuff, that I'll want to do more.
Beautiful.
Which is more scary.
Well, yeah, you know, everything I said, you face your fears once and then it becomes easier the second time, and right. So on. So, you know, again, good on you for taking the steps to do something, even if you're nervous to do it.
Yeah. Life's too short.
Thanks for calling, Cam.
Bye, Lyle.
Okay, let's see. How can I make this about me? Yes, I will talk about my live tour again. One of the things I really learned doing these shows is that process that doing shows, going to meet friends, just any fucking thing that it is that could raise your fucking blood pressure and cause you to get all squirmy is really just that process of like learning to jump forward. And it just watching it get easier and easier every time you do it. And that's something I'm trying to like for myself, just I'm trying to like exposure therapy myself out of nerves, whatever those nerves may be. Cause I think I'm not a fucking doctor or a scientist, but I think your adrenaline stuff can only raise so much that it just gets tired, and then you become numb to your nervousness, and then you can just do stuff. But like I've said multiple times, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Next caller.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by Factor. Factor is a meal prep service that eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. I've been using Factor myself a ton this year to help me lose weight, and they make it easy by having the nutritional information of each meal listed right on the box, which is sometimes a bit harder to calculate when you're eating out. Every one of their meals comes to your door fresh, they're chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I just had their chicken tikka masala for dinner tonight. I had their pesto salmon last night, and they were both very, very good. Head to factormeals.com/gecko50 and use the code GECKO50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code GECKO50 at factormeals.com/gecko50 for 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this the Geck?
This is the Geck.
Oh my God, my day has been made.
What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. I called to talk about backyard wrestling.
You called to talk about backyard wrestling?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. It says here that you are a backyard wrestler for a local backyard wrestling federation. Is this what you do for a living? You're a backyard wrestler?
Yep, that's what I do.
How did you get into that?
It started when I was about 16. I was a big wrestling nut, as most people usually are. And I ended up hanging out with friends who also liked wrestling. We just started wrestling around on a trampoline casually. Over the years, I kind of just leveled up from that. I went and wrestled on like mattresses and stuff after getting out of the trampoline thing. And now I'm in a ring. So still not a full trained professional, but it's fun. It's a good hobby.
Now, when you were wrestling around with your friends, did you ever get into a situation where someone got like seriously fucked up?
Yeah, there's been a few of them. Not in the group I'm in now. Our group's pretty safe, but I've seen some things, that's for sure.
Yeah, anything you want to share?
Do you want me to talk about a few of them?
Yeah, I'm down to hear.
Probably the scariest one I've heard, which ironically got me into a really crazy match, but this guy was wrestling another guy. He had a chair. You know, typical wrestling, hit a guy with a chair, right? And the guy ended up not protecting his head when he got hit with the chair, and part of the chair was broken off and nobody knew about it, and it slashed his head like big time. He had to have like multiple staples, couldn't wrestle for a very long time. It was some scary stuff.
That's pretty gnarly. But wait, so how did that get you involved in a match?
So the day after, the guy who wanted to wrestle that guy because he couldn't wrestle, he saw I was doing some crazy stuff. He was like, hey, I want to wrestle you. So I kind of got his misfortune ended up being my gain. And as bad as that sounds, but it was also the craziest match of my life. We had like a tables, ladders, and chairs kind of match. And this guy didn't really fly off ladders. He jumped out of a giant tree at me.
And did that scare you
literally
at all? That he was jumping out of a giant tree?
I was scared. I wasn't me and the guys that were not going to be able to catch him. That was the scariest part, because like he had to have been like a good 20 feet up, and I'm thankful we all caught him and no one was hurt. But I was like, "You're nuts! I'll take the move, but as long as I have some help catching you, because I don't trust myself catching you jumping out of a tree, maybe 20 feet in the air, you know."
So you've been doing this since you were 16, and it says you're 32 now. So it's been about.
Yep.
So it's been about 16 years. It's been half your life, 16 years. So how has your relationship with this thing evolved over the past 16 years? Like, you know, is there, has your passion for it increased or waned? Or tell me how it's evolved.
It's actually been a wild roller coaster. So 16, like I said, just starting liking it. Eventually just became something I became fascinated and fell in love with after I graduated high school. My group was starting to wind down and people were losing interest. So I, like a typical like thing in the late 2000s, messenger forums, right? Back then. And there was one specifically for backyard wrestlers called GBYWN. And I ended up going on there, meeting some people. And that's actually how I ended up going to that group. It wasn't even my own group. It was in Indiana. I ended up traveling a couple states down to head there. So
okay,
I was
be
traveling
honest,
and just hanging out.
Oh no, keep going.
Oh, sorry. So I started traveling and just meeting other backyard wrestlers while my group was not around. I just became more and more fascinated by it as the years went on. I've calmed down a lot. I don't have people flying out of trees or anything at me anymore. Like we've gotten smarter over the years, of course.
Okay.
But wrestling in general kind of saved my life in many ways, as weird as that sounds. In high school, I was a very depressed kid, just didn't have anything going for me. And then all of a sudden, I found friends, and we liked wrestling, and just kind of evolved from there. And then once they left, I always found a way to like bring wrestling into helping me through my mental struggles, you know?
Mm. To this day, does wrestling help you out a lot with your mental struggles?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess, therapy, you know, in a way. It's a weird way to say it, but it's kind of like, it kind of just gets me out of my zone and makes me feel like Superman sometimes. I don't know.
Mm.
Do you have, are you in a relationship at all?
I am not. I'm single.
Okay. Have you had any relationships in the past?
Few toxic ones. it just didn't work out mostly. I don't know. I'm kind of a bigger guy, so like I'm not the best looking person on earth.
I have to ask, do you meet like these toxic exes? Did you meet them through wrestling or through other means?
Other means. But I don't know, like they always supported what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just things didn't work out pretty much every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of just pretty much just dumped on me because I'm too nice of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just took advantage of me and stuff. So it's like, relationships aren't really my thing. Wrestling's kind of what got me through it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, I mean, you've been doing this for half your life. I mean, for the rest of your life, do you plan on, do you see yourself wrestling?
I'm hoping to continue for another couple of years. Right now, I'm on a really good run with my local group. I ended up finding some guys, and we ended up purchasing a ring, and we have a ring in my friend's yard, and that's what we're doing now. And I want to at least keep going on as long as I can on it because I'm really enjoying what I'm doing currently at this time.
So I have another
question.
Life
into me, you know.
I have another question. You know, I feel like there, it's sort of a double-edged sword to build your life, if I'm getting an accurate picture of you. It can be like a double-edged sword to build your life around one thing, you know, because
it's
important to...
Yeah, it's kind of self-destructive in a way.
Yeah, tell me about that.
I got other hobbies and stuff. Hmm?
Tell me about that. How is it, has it negatively affected you at all to build your life solely around wrestling?
Not necessarily. Like, I have other hobbies, but that's, like, the big, like, part of me that... It's, like, the dominant part of me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I play Magic the Gathering. I have a group of friends who play Magic. I work at a Taco Bell, made a lot of friends there. So, like, I'm a very social person. But, like, I just never find anyone good for me, you know, in terms of relationships and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything...
bad luck, like, probably.
Is there anything in your like, to sort of keep you moving forward, I feel like it's important to have these goals or things you want that kind of help you, you know, figure out what your next moves are going to be. Would you say that you have any, like, goals for the future that you're aiming for? Inside or outside of wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, outside, I'm hoping to eventually settle my role a little bit within the next couple of years and hopefully find someone by then and just kind of figure things out from there.
So you said you're going to do this for about 2 years. What would your life look like should you retire from wrestling? Like, what else would you want to do?
Well, that was the hard part because I've already done it twice. And then it just kind of it finds its way back to me. So, like, I've already, like, said, all right, I need to stop. And then I just start feeling better, get the itch, come back.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not going to be going more than 2 or 3 years because I don't think my body could take it. So I've been slowly trying to figure out what's the next move when it's not going to be there for me all the time anymore, you know?
Have you come to any conclusions or leaned towards any ideas of what that might be?
Not 100% sure. I have, like, honestly, it's just kind of recently become a thought in my mind, and that's actually really good you brought that up because that's something I've never really addressed even to myself yet. I feel like I've been kind of avoiding that idea.
Yeah, is it a scary thing for you?
Kind of. I am on the autism spectrum, so anxiety is definitely a weakness of mine. So it's kind of hard to, like, you know, I don't really know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm. Is this something you've been avoiding?
A little bit, I would say. I would say I've been avoiding or buying time would actually probably be a bit better word for it. I'm installing.
Yeah. You know, I hope I don't sound like I'm asking like leading questions to make this seem like a bad thing. Cause I actually think the opposite. I think, I don't know you, but you seem like you're very happy with where you are in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's probably as a result of you not thinking so crazy hard about what you're going to do when wrestling ends, or, you know, what life is going to look like later down the line, or how you are going to somehow, you know, I mean, all these questions I'm asking you, you know, how you're going to, you know, complete whatever is incomplete about your life. I feel like a lot of the happiness that I'm hearing, you know, out of you comes from just fucking being in the moment, doing the wrestling and living your life. You know, would you say that's accurate?
I have a bad habit of saying here for a good time, not a long time, but I should definitely be thinking the opposite too.
Yeah, but I mean, the way that I'm trying to phrase it is like, that doesn't sound like it's a bad thing. It sounds like it's a source of a lot of joy for you that you're here for a good time.
Yeah, it's kind of what I live for. Life's too short, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you're doing it right.
Appreciate that, Gek.
Sean, is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer, or anything else about your life that you feel like we didn't cover here?
Could I possibly plug my channel on YouTube?
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, what's the channel?
All right. I have two of them. One of them would be RCW Rules for like the URL, RCW and then RULZ. That's my personal one. And then for the federation I'm in now, that would be, the channel name would be WCE Heat, like the flame kind of thing.
Sean, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Have a great night.
That guy had an interesting perspective. I felt like maybe I was asking leading questions. I ask questions like that, not hoping to get an answer, but sort of with a genuine curiosity about it, you know? I mean, here's a guy who lives his life in the days of his life, not stressing out about the overall portrait that he's painting across years and years. Just fucking hanging out and wrestling and being with friends and... I kept sort of asking, like, you know, is there anything beyond that that you want? And the answer kept, I hope I was listening correctly, but the answer kept kind of being like, you know, hey, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I'm not thinking so much about, oh, I need to find a wife. I'm not thinking so much about, oh, what am I going to do when wrestling ends? Because he's enjoying the moment. And he kind of started at the end thinking of that as a bad thing, but I think that's a good thing, because I mean, this is dark, but you know, fuck it, we never know how much time we're gonna have. We don't know if we're gonna be around in 5 years. We don't know what the fuck could happen, you know. I mean, this guy's living in the moment, and if you live in the moment for 80 years, that's a good life. So shout out to him.
Hey folks, it's Lyle here, ending the podcast with something a little different. As you guys might know, I've been on the road doing live shows, and in every city I go to, I also record street interviews with random folks walking around. I'll be ending today's podcast and several podcasts in the future with an excerpt from those street interviews. So here is one from outside the Washington Monument in D.C. with a guy who operates tanks for the military. If you want to hear all of the interviews I recorded on this day, you can find them by going to youtube.com/LyleForever, or just go on YouTube and search for Being a Gecko at the Washington Monument. Okay, let's get into it.
What's your name?
Zach.
What's your life like? What are you all about?
In the Army, last 5 years.
I got another 5 years to go.
Are you aware that your voice does not match?
Yeah, how you look. I get that a lot. You get that a lot. Yeah. A lot of people think I'm like 30 years old or something like that.
How old are you?
23.
You're 23?
Yeah.
You're like the voice of every different part of you is a new age.
Yeah, I know. Can you guess what I did in the Army?
Helicopters.
Nah.
Give me one more. Fucking rocket launchers.
No. I was on tanks.
Tanks?
Yeah. I was too tall for them, so. Well, there's a high limit for tanks.
What sort of life analogies have you learned from operating tanks? You know, like a tank, in what way is a tank like life? How is a tank like a relationship? How is a tank like running a business?
So, there's four people in a tank.
Yeah.
For the United States. And it's all about teamwork, basically. Mm, so you learn a lot about teamwork. Because if your driver ain't doing something, you can't move. Your gunner ain't not doing something, you can't hit anything. Loader can't. Not doing his job.
All right. So, what position were you in the tank? Or were you doing all of
that? I was, so I started off as a driver,
yeah,
a loader. Then I moved up to a gunner, and then I finished off as tank commander.
As a tank commander.
Yeah.
And, what did you learn about, like, commanding people? How do you get people to respond to you if they're, like, on their phone playing Tetris when they should be doing
the gun?
I show
them respect, and they'll respect you.
Mm.
Because if you're, like, a shitty leader, excuse my language and all, but, no one's going to respect you, and they're not going to do what you say. But if you show that you want to work with them, and you respect them and what they do, and you listen to them, they'll follow you anywhere.
Have you ever been, being in the Army, you before you became a leader, you were under the command of a lot of different leaders.
Yeah.
What, from your experience, would you say is the difference between a good leader and a bad leader?
So I had both. I had bad leaders and I had good leaders.
Okay, what were the bad leaders like? You don't have to give any names.
So, yeah. So this is one dude. I beat him in a game of checkers. It was my sergeant.
Okay.
And he was like, "You beat me in a game of checkers?" I was like, "Hell yeah, I did." And he smoked me right there. So push-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "You sure?" I was like, "Hell yeah." Because if I would have lied, I had to do it either way.
Yeah.
So I just didn't like his style of leadership. And then I had other leaders that call, check up on me on the weekends and stuff. Like, "Hey, how you doing? If you need anything, this is my number. Hey, I'm going to be like 100 miles away, but if you need anything, just call me." I took that and I was like, damn, that's a really good way to like lead. And I made that in my leadership style.
It sounds like you lead with a lot of kindness.
Yeah.
What's your line between, like, there's a problem I feel like leaders run into where you want to be kind, you want to be benevolent, but you also have to fucking lay down the law when it comes time. Is that something you are good at doing?
Absolutely. So there's a line between work and play. Like when to joke around and when not to.
Sure.
And I try to like share that with the guys that's like under me. And I really haven't had any problems. I mean, if there is, we try to solve it on the lowest level. Because the further up it gets, the more people that know, it's just a pain in the ass.
How would this 6-year-old version of you react if he saw you commanding a tank?
Dude, he'd probably be stoked. He'd be like, holy shit, dude.
Where do you, have you driven this tank on, like, an active battlefield before?
No. So, with the, like, I was in California with the training. There's a giant training area out there.
Yeah.
And we train different armies. I worked with the Japanese, the British, the Canadians, the French, the Germans, South Koreans, countries from all over. But we do war games. So basically it's like it's a giant game of laser tag.
so instead of giant fucking rockets, the tank shoots lasers.
Yeah, and it's like, and then we have like systems to say, oh, you're dead and stuff like that. And we also shoot blanks and stuff.
Yeah.
And like simulated rockets. But yeah, it's really cool. I'll get your heart racing for sure.
That's so interesting, man. So are you in a position where like if I have no idea how the military works.
Yeah.
If shit goes down in some place that we're at war, like, are you got to go over there and bring the, where is this tank right now?
Mine?
Yeah.
I jumped tanks. My last tank was in Irwin, California.
It's in California?
Yeah.
So here's what is confusing me is, let's say there's a war in, let's say we go to war with France.
Okay. Yeah.
How are you going to get the tank over there?
Tank's already over there.
You have tanks everywhere?
Yeah, so we're the U.S. military. We have tanks everywhere. There's bases everywhere. So I have like the opportunity to be stationed anywhere in the world, basically.
Really? So there's a tank. You got tanks in Alaska?
We don't have tanks over there anymore. There's no armor.
What are you going to do if there's an Alaskan war?
They put me on a gun truck.
A gun truck sounds like another name for a tank.
No, it's not. There's only one type of tank. That's the Abrams.
Okay. Is a gun truck kind of like you're sitting in the back of a pickup truck and you have a gun?
Yeah.
That's just a truck.
Yeah. But they call it a gun truck because there's a gun mounted.
There's a gun man in there. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. What made you want to get into all this stuff in the first place?
I joined out of high school to travel. See the world.
And it worked out for you?
Yeah, because I'm from a small farm town.
Okay.
Nothing happens. Population like 1,500.
Interesting. So I'm going to be honest. You know, I feel like, and I don't know what you see out there, but I feel like the public perception of joining the military is split back and forth. Yeah. And I've talked to people who they joined the military and they kind of regret it. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to people like you. Seems like it's done great things for you. What's your kind of like take on that? Like, should people join the military at a high school, or is there like a certain kind of person that would be good for?
Everyone has their different views.
Yeah.
I've had soldiers who got out the army because I was like, I'll try it. It's not for me though. Mm-hmm. And they got out and they're living a better life. And some guys are like, oh man, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just go with that. My experience has been good. The army's paid for my entire bachelor's degree.
Mm.
I'm about to start my master's and they're going to pay for that too. I've got job experience, met people from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. It does have its ups and downs. It's definitely a roller coaster, but just take the good with the bad.
What do you hope to do in the future? What are you getting your degree in?
I have a degree in environmental science with focus fish wildlife management, and I wanted to work with the National Park Service or U.S. Fish Wildlife Service, helping threatened and endangered species.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, man, what's your name again?
Zach.
Zach, yeah. Zach, is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
No, I'm good.
Zach, thank you very much for talking to a real gecko, man. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your support.
Of course, man. Right. Take care, brother.
Right, you too.
Very nice to meet you.
Well, very nice to meet you too. I'm gonna think of you next time I see a big tank. Thanks. Later, Zach. I didn't know. I'm like scared now. I didn't know that they have fucking tanks everywhere. You could be just walking around. And look, there's a fucking tank behind a bush that you don't know about. Therapy Gecko's on the line, taking your phone calls every night. Therapy Gecko's doing it right, he's teaching you how to live your life. But he's not really an expert.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.